Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
While Chicago adjusts to working at home, the Score is there for you.
I appreciate you guys being there for us to listen to.
Everybody's listening. Kudos to you guys. Keep it going. I'm a loyal Score listener. I appreciate it all the time, but more than ever right now with you guys.
We are Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago.
The Score!
Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Nothing's off the table for us right now. I think we are open, and we've had some really positive conversations with our Players Association about relaxing some of the rules that govern our schedule. They're very focused on returning to play and playing as many games as possible. And when you have that kind of positive dialogue, it creates an opportunity to do things that are a little different. You're not committed to them over the long term because this year is a unique circumstance, but there's a lot of ideas out there and we really are open to all of them.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Zabin in for Mully this week, and that was the voice of Rob Manfred, who did an interview with Scott Van Pelt on ESPN and talked about the possibility of moving forward of some changes to the Major League Baseball schedule if and when things get started. He sounded an optimistic tone. And Zach, you know, here we are. It's Thursday, March 26th. And, you know, this was supposed to be the most optimistic day of the year. Opening day always is. Instead, we have a shutdown society. I guess hope exists, but not necessarily for championships, pennant races, just for competition. You want to be out there. You want to hear, you know, batting practice. You want to smell the ballpark. You want the rhythm of baseball, and we're going to have to do without it for some time. But you should be in Milwaukee, and we should be ready in Chicago to go to the South Side. The Cubs should be playing the Brewers, and the White Sox should be playing the Royals. They're not, and we're just going to have to deal with it. But and as we do cope, and everybody's doing their part, that we're going to have to consider some of these possibilities. Rob Manfred opened his mind, I think, last night. He's not a guy known necessarily for coming up with the most creative or pragmatic solutions, but I did like the fact that he offered a few that made some sense in terms of moving forward whenever we can start this baseball season.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. Whenever we can, and I'll even go a step further, if we can, and you can't ignore that. I know at 5 at 5 you didn't want any doomsday predictions, but the reality is Manfred can only put together a bunch of different plans based on what the science tells us. The science tells us that we are nowhere near being able to play baseball anytime soon. And that's what's scary. You know, I know Dustin is trying to be hopeful and during 5 at 5 kept saying, I know we're going to be back. Yeah, eventually life is going to come back to normal, but it's not going to be normal in the United States and around the world until there's a vaccine. And all the experts tell you that that's not going to happen at least for another year to a year and a half. Maybe we get lucky and it happens a little bit sooner, But the reality is, and this is the scary part of it going forward, is how do you navigate through society until that happens? So, for example, right now, the reason that we're trying to stop the spread and everyone's staying at home and we're practicing social distancing and we don't have professional sports in this country is because you're just trying to prevent the hospitals from getting slammed with all the cases that are taking place. Eventually, that'll drop. But David, everywhere that they've relaxed the social distancing rules, once that initial surge dropped, the numbers go back up again. And that's the reality that Rob Manfred and all the other sports are facing at this point.
Okay, you're right. And I'm not going to get into the projection of whether how many games are going to play necessarily or what we need to do. Everybody needs to be responsible when it comes to social distancing and hope that people do. But when I want to get through some of the things that he talked about in terms of whether they make sense from a baseball perspective, from a sports perspective. Do you think that however long the season, if it is played, does it matter how long it is in terms of when you count it towards service time? Because a lot of these issues have a real life impact on your favorite players, on your favorite teams. Mookie Betts, theoretically, I saw somebody tweet out the other day, if they don't play baseball this year, he could re-sign with the Red Sox and spend his entire career in a Red Sox uniform, even though he got traded to the Dodgers, because the one-year service time would count even if he doesn't play a game. I think that's a little bit of an extreme of an example. But how long does a season need to be, Zach, for it to count as a season of service time accrued? I believe, as it says there in the 5 at 5, if you crown a champion, you count it as a season.
Yeah, but what if you don't? See, and what if you play a full season? And this is the reality. You know, there are a lot of hypotheticals here, obviously, because we're living through it right now. But if the season gets underway, and what happens if you play a majority of the season, say it started in July, and you went through an entire regular season, and at some point during the postseason, there's another wave, if you will, or there's a couple of players on a certain team that get infected in the postseason, and you have to shut things down. Does that mean that you wouldn't get service time?
Well, I think you could come up with a lot of different scenarios. If you don't play a single game and there's no record of a 2020 baseball season, I don't know how that could count as a season of service time. You had no service. There weren't any pitches thrown or home runs hit. There was nothing. So that everything would be just move forward 1 year. So that the Cubs would still, if they have to wipe out 2020 and 2021 opening day, the Cubs would still have Chris Bryant for 2 years of control. You'd have to adjust the contracts accordingly, wouldn't you? I mean,
I agree with that. I think the complicated issues become if you start the season, if you're given the go-ahead by the medical experts to start a season, that it can work, and then all of a sudden something happens in the middle of the season to shut it down and a champion isn't declared, what happens then?
Well, then if you start playing again, I think that's got to be the Major League Baseball Players Association, which is a pretty powerful group, I think would argue that would count as a season of service time. And I think it would be a pretty strong argument because there are unforeseen circumstances that intervened. If you were under your scenario, have to cancel the rest of the season after you started it. If you start the season, then you start the clock. I think that's the way to look at it. So, you know, those are issues that'll be hammered out. The other thing I wanted to get to, Zach, was that, you know, this idea of doubleheaders. Now, whenever, say, let's say hypothetically they start June 1st and they do want to play 100, they're ambitious. They want to play between 120 and 140 games. And it would mean doubleheaders once a week or once every 2 weeks. And they might say there's 7-inning doubleheaders. And would that bother you from a baseball perspective? Do you think that they would be more accepting of that because of the circumstances that this season presents?
I think players would balk at that because you know the routines that they have to go through. And it's easy for us to sit here when we don't have to go out there and play to say, oh, just deal with it. But it does impact your pitching staff. If two of your starters, for example, are going on the same day, and do you need extra roster spots in order to protect those pitchers, to protect your bullpen going forward. See, that's where I just don't think it's feasible. You know, everyday players, I know they expanded the roster by one heading into this upcoming season, but I just think you're going to run into a manpower problem over the course of the season if you stack up a whole bunch of doubleheaders. Now, I don't have a problem with a seven-inning doubleheader. You might, being more of a traditionalist. I know Rob Manfred said he's open, although in the past he's always said that there's certain numbers that you just associate with baseball, and that includes nine-inning games. But that's where I think you would get a little pushback from players. And I think, to be honest, there are certain teams that would not want to see a majority of the season stacked up with doubleheaders. I would almost rather have, and I don't know if you agree with me on this, I'd rather have even a shorter regular season that you can put out there, maybe even half a season, have a big race to the playoffs so the playoffs can start on time. The numbers used to mean everything in Major League Baseball, but
they don't.
After the steroid scandal, they're meaningless now, and you don't look at them the same way. So once that happened, once they even canceled the World Series because of a labor stoppage, I think the most important thing is to have a meaningful regular season, even if it's half a regular season, that creates this incredible push to the postseason, and then try to start the playoffs as close to when we would normally have a baseball postseason as possible, so you don't impact the 2021 season going forward.
Look around baseball. Look what happened to Noah Syndergaard. He announced this week he's going to have Tommy John surgery. Chris Sale, a couple weeks ago, had to face the same hard reality. I don't like the way a compressed spring training, an abnormal season, would expose pitchers to more health risks, especially if you start to go the seven-inning doubleheader. I understand that you have to keep an open mind, and I like talking about some of these possibilities and scenarios, but I would favor what you just described, a shortened, compressed regular season without all the doubleheaders. That would create some sort of, even the asterisk would be bigger. And I think you wouldn't get as true of a sense of what teams are really good. And you would be exposing the pitchers to push themselves and asking them to push themselves more than they would need to. But I do like a couple of things that Rob Manfred kind of suggested. The neutral site World Series, if you have to go deeper into the postseason, if that's a reality because of the weather, that's okay with me. Also, I like the expanded playoff possibility, and that was something he floated, because you are going to have, you know, a shortened season, and you may have, you know, want to make the playoffs more exciting for whatever reason. So that's okay with me. I think you have to keep an open mind here.
Yeah, and you could be playing games without fans. You know, would you feel comfortable as a fan going to a baseball game if the thing ramps up in July without a vaccine? Would players feel comfortable? Would they change the way, would the protocols for travel change? You know, would you want to ride the team bus? Would you have to change the way the clubhouse is constructed in order to keep everybody safe? I mean, these are legitimate issues that have to be talked about going forward. And I know baseball is planning for it, but that's the difficulty of going forward with some of these plans.
312-644-6767, Texas at 670-11. We will talk about what you think about Rob Manfred's proposals, his open mind about seven-inning doubleheaders. Do you want to eliminate interleague play like Dustin suggested? And I also want to talk to you, Zach, about the Cubs and the White Sox and look more locally at if and when we are able to resume baseball. Does a shortened season, does the abnormality of what is going to be a baseball season unlike any other in Chicago and around the league, who does it favor, if it favors anybody at all? Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You know, we'll have essentially a skeleton crew of staff here, similar to what you might see in January, where we might have at least one hitting coach, at least one pitching coach. We'll have a strength and conditioning coach, and we'll have training and medical staff, but we won't have a full staff, and we won't be having organized workouts. I think it's best to treat this as if it's January.
Obviously, there's a great deal of logistical considerations, not just at the big league level, but at the minor league level for both players and staff. Our Ed Casson and others on the minor league side have already been in contact with area hotels. Obviously, at some point, there'll need to be conversations with some landlords about certain leases around here, including my own, but we'll deal with those in the coming weeks. But we know that logistically there's going to be some challenges, and again, we're not immune to the challenges that society is going to be facing here currently and perhaps over the coming days, and we'll adapt and get through it.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Zach Zabin in for Mully this week, and that was the voice of Theo Epstein and then Rick Hahn talking about the realities they're facing. That was before everybody shut down, and baseball today was supposed to be the opening day, full of optimism and hope, and we are left to speculate about something that we cannot foresee, about a start that we hope is coming but can't guarantee. And we heard from Rob Manfred on ESPN talking to Scott Van Pelt last night, Zach, and raised some really interesting things to consider, and it sounds like he has an open mind. Let's assume that baseball does return this summer. Let's assume that under Manfred's timetable, he was optimistic and sounded the best-case scenario might be an early June launch. Who does that favor in Chicago? Because I feel like the White Sox, they had so much momentum going into the season. Such a young, promising team. Such a young, promising pitching staff. They have some veterans. They added Dallas Keuchel. You have other guys, Gio Gonzalez. But the reason for the hope was in the youth. I just wonder, the Cubs, in embracing the status quo, having those veterans who understand that they've had their routines disrupted before, and they're survivors of John Lester, Kyle Hendricks, Darvish, Quintana. These are guys that you kind of know what you're going to get. I wonder if an unusual, abnormal, unorthodox season, whether it's 100 games or 140 games or 80 games, does that favor a veteran team like the Cubs more than it does a young, up-and-coming team like the White Sox?
You know, I understand what you're saying, but there's a lot of change with the Cubs. You know, you have a new manager. Today was supposed to be the start of a new era of Cubs baseball, with David Ross taking over as the manager and the big topic of conversation from the moment that Joe Maddon and the Cubs split ways and David Ross was hired was that the Cubs need to play with a little bit more of an edge, and David Ross would bring you that football-style mentality to the baseball diamond. I actually think that will help in a shortened season. But, you know, I was talking with Ron Coomer about this, and you heard Coom yesterday on the air when mm-hmm. I asked him what kind of a team benefits most from a shortened season. And, you know, he kind of paused and thought about it, and I agree with his answer. I think you do too. It's about bullpens, because the starting pitchers are going to be in a situation where they can't get stretched out. Because right now, for example, these starters would have been ready to go a little bit deeper into games. But you don't know when the season is starting. You don't know how the schedule is going to manifest itself, meaning are we going to have more doubleheaders than usual because you're trying to fit as many games as you can into a shorter period of time. We just don't know. But you do know that the bullpens will have to play a major role. And if you're looking at the Cubs and White Sox, wouldn't you say that the White Sox at least have most of the questions in their bullpen answered as we get start to begin a season, as opposed to the Cubs, who made a lot of changes in their bullpen? Yes, you have Rowan Wick and you have Kyle Ryan. Those are the only two things that you know for sure you can start a season with. What kind of Craig Kimbrell are you going to get? You don't know.
And I don't know. That's an interesting point, because I think bullpens, though, they're so hard to predict year to year that the carryover is something you might count on, but you also might be disappointed in. Because are you as good as you feel about what the White Sox have put together? You know, the bullpen is probably the area. They're deep. They do have, you know, they added Cishek. They have a veteran Colome. You know, Aaron Bummer is now locked up for reasons that everyone understands or remembers last year. So, yeah, I guess that's a really good point. I guess that I'm just pointing out, Zach, and I guess I wonder, you know, the beauty of the baseball season is sort of the arc of development, right? You start out and you don't get too over anxious if your team starts in the first 60 slow, because you figure they're going to get it along the way. And there's always like that expectation that you're going to break out of a slump, or if you get off to a hot start, things are going to level off. There's that rhythm of the baseball season that's going to be missing this year. It's going to be kind of fluky whenever it starts. So in a fluky type season, I just wonder if you're more likely to rely on the things that you know and the veterans that you have trusted in the past, and the guys whose back of the baseball cards are going to be more predictable than guys who haven't accomplished as much as often or for as long as young players just haven't, because they haven't been around as long.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. On paper, what you're saying makes sense. I think the issue that I have is in a condensed season where, you know, the old story is it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. You know, if you lose a few games early, you know, the Cubs have rebounded from poor starts the last couple of years to at least be in a position to close strong the last two seasons, and they've just been unable to finish strong. That's been their issue the last 2 years. But you may not be able to rebound in a condensed season. And
right.
I think that's where, you know, I look at the Cubs, and last year, Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, Javier Baez, Wilson Contreras, they all at different points during the year suffered injuries. Now, if you have something like that happen in a condensed season, it could cost you your season. And then you look at the White Sox, a lot of youth. You know, generally, you're able to handle the rigors of more games in a shorter period of time when you're younger. That's what's so exciting about what the White Sox have formed on the South Side. I don't know how it'll play out. You know, you could say the extra time off that these players are getting now early on in the year, and in all likelihood, if baseball does resume, it will resume with better weather conditions, and you don't have to deal with the stuff that you have to deal with playing in colder conditions across the middle of the country, as the Cubs and White Sox usually do. You know, maybe that benefits some of the older players. I don't have the answers. I just know that for 1 year, a condensed season would make it fun, because like the NFL, you'd have that playoff to get into the playoffs, and that's what the regular season would become, and you'd have to take each game a little bit more seriously. You can't just say, you know what, you got crushed in one game, there are plenty more to go. No, the impact of that one game during a regular season may have a big role in what transpires by the end of the year.
312-644-6767. Let us know what you think. Do you like the idea of interleague play being eliminated? Do you like the idea of a compressed season? Would it take anything away from the value of the sanctity of baseball, or would you just be relieved to actually see baseball being played? 670-11 is the text line, and we're getting some good text, Zach. 847 says, if they even played 100 games and started in late June to be safe, I don't see there an issue. It doesn't bother me that much if we don't have a large sample size. I just want to see baseball. 630
right.
says,
I think most... Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, and then 630 just says, in a 60-game season, most teams will be bunched up near the top around 35 and 25, not enough time to discriminate between the teams. So you have one in favor, one not in favor. I think it depends on, look, if you get a half a season, if you get 81 games, to me, it would be legitimate. And I think, again, if you crown a champion, by the time you're doing that, I'm not sure that it's going to matter to the champion how short your season was.
Yeah, in the past, you would always say about Major League Baseball that this sport's regular season is more impactful and meaningful than, say, basketball, football, and hockey, because there are many more teams in those other sports that end up making the postseason. So that places a greater deal of importance on baseball's regular season. But we all understand this is a unique time, and you adjust. And I think that's part of the fun. So even if it's half a season, you know, everyone's got to play it. Let's have fun doing it. And it just adds a little bit more of a sense of urgency from the get-go heading into the playoffs. But what I would say is, you know, you said no interleague play. Here's another question. How does the season manifest itself? Do you just play the games that are already scheduled because, you know, teams have booked their hotel rooms and all that kind of stuff, travel, blah, blah, blah? Or do you just play whatever's on your schedule given the amount of games you can play once the medical experts say you can go?
I don't think so. There'd be an imbalance, wouldn't there? I mean, you'd have to reconfigure everything. If you're going to start over and condense your schedule, don't you have to make it so there's some degree of balance in who you're playing within the
division?
Is that
practical, though?
It might not be practical. But if you want to do what's practical, you might, as we talked about during the 5 at 5, increase the number of interleague games because of geography, then you might the Cubs 100%. Versus the Royals, and things of that nature.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that because travel is going to be an issue. So I think it would benefit Major League Baseball to have the games played, more interleague games played within NL Central, AL Central, just geographically make it worthwhile where you don't have to spend as much time traveling, and yet you can take advantage of playing as many games as possible. But I don't know how baseball will handle it. I don't know logistically if that's possible based on stadium availability and all that kind of stuff. So these are questions that we didn't get answered yesterday, but I'm sure this is the kind of planning that's taking place with Rob Manfred and the baseball higher-ups right now to make sure that once you do go, it can go as smoothly as possible.
And we'll have plenty of time to discuss it, I'm sure, because there's plenty of time to wait until the beginning of and the resumption of the baseball season. Zach, we're going to switch gears, and we're going to talk football when we come back. Greg Gabriel, he was the former Bears director of scouting. He now is an executive in the XFL with the DC Defenders. He knows how much preparation goes into the NFL draft, and he can talk to us from an informed perspective how much it makes sense and what would be missing if the NFL were to move the draft back from April 23rd, as the GM subcommittee recommended on Tuesday to NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. Zach Zabin in for Mully. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the XFL.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Zach Zabin in for Mully this week, and we are pleased to welcome Greg Gabriel, the longtime former director of scouting for the Chicago Bears and now an executive, the director of player personnel for the XFL's DC Defenders. Good morning, Greg. And Greg joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Good. It's good to catch up. Good to talk to you. We wanted to get your valuable opinion, your background. Obviously, Greg, you have prepared for many of NFL draft, and you know what goes into that process and how arduous it is and when it starts and where you're at once we get to late March and where we are now. And the other day, I'm sure you saw the GM subcommittee recommended to Roger Goodell moving the draft back. Right now, it's scheduled for April 23rd to the 25th. As of this moment, Roger Goodell said, nope, it's going to be April 23rd. You're going to do the first round as scheduled. What did you think of that recommendation, and where do you think this is headed?
Well, you know, it's funny because I've talked to some GMs over the period of the last couple of weeks. In fact, right before we had shut down the XFL for the season, I was talking to one friend of mine who's a GM, and he thought at that point, so this is basically 2 weeks ago today, maybe 2 weeks ago yesterday, that the NFL was going to push back the start of the league year, push back free agency, and push back the draft. He thought the league year would be pushed back 2 to 3 weeks, and the draft would be around June 1st or the end of May, so a month later. Obviously, he was wrong because it's still been business as usual, and I think that's, you know, the NFL thinks about what's best for the NFL as a league, not necessarily what's best for the individual teams. Mm-hmm. Having a draft now without having all the information that you need, and personnel people pride themselves on making decisions, be it right or wrong, on a lot of information, and there's several players where you just don't have that, and so they're going to go into, I'm not going to say they're going to go into it blind, but they're not going to go into it with the usual amount of information that they have when they have a draft at the end of April. And part of that is, you know, there's certain guys, yes, you have the combine, so you got the medicals on most of the top guys, but that said, every year you got 35 to 40 guys who did not go to Indy who get drafted. So a little more than around, say around almost a round and a half of players get drafted every year. This year, those players, you don't have physical examinations on them. You can't get a physical examination on them. So are those guys going to be players that are drafted this year? I would say in most cases, no, because of that. And then there's players that you don't have workout times on. You know, we used to spend the month of March bringing in guys or doing private workouts at the schools, going to the pro days. More than half of the pro days never took place. Obviously, no individual or private workouts. With quarterbacks, that's extremely important because when you do a quarterback, you're spending almost a whole day with the player. You have classroom time with them. You see how quickly he can pick up things, take it from the classroom onto the field, then you do the workout on the field, those types of things. So many of those things aren't going to be answered. And from a GM or director of scouting perspective, that's almost a nightmare.
But Greg, you did this for a long time. When this part of the year rolls around, given the limitations, you still have a ton of information. So if you were putting together your draft room without the ability to check the extra medicals or have those extra opportunities to meet players, what are you relying on? Because at this point, if you're talking about the first round, you've already fallen in love with a cluster of players, have you not? And that holds true probably for the early rounds of the draft, second, third as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to make a big difference with the first two rounds. I think it would, when you get past that, that's where you're going to see the difference. So day two, day three of the draft, you're going to have selections being made that might not have been made had this pandemic been here. It just changes the whole scenario and the scenery of the draft, and that you just don't have things done. Now, there have been a few top players. There are certain agents that just don't want their players working out at the combine, and some of them are potential first-round guys that you just don't have the information on. You're going to go by the tape. And most of the time, the tape carries – 70% of the grade anyway, but, you know, the medical plays into it. But in this case, you're going to have the medical on those top guys. They were at Indy. So really where this affects the draft is for the most part, day three. Day one, at least the first couple rounds, I don't think it's going to matter that much. There could be some picks made that you might not have made had the scenario been different, but, you know, it is what it is. Basically, you got to, you know, you're going to it a little bit blind in that you just don't feel comfortable with all the information that you have.
Talking with Greg Gabriel, the former Bears scouting director, who is now the director of player personnel for the XFL's DC Defenders. And Greg, I know you haven't broken down this draft class, but I wonder this. You know enough about Tua to know what's at stake and how special of a player he is when healthy. But that's a key word, when healthy. And you saw the video this week released of him, you know, throwing and working out. I just wonder, without having the draft moved back and with having access to limited information, does that help or hurt a guy like Tua who has the iffy status and has the questions surrounding his durability?
Well, it's a good question, David, and I think teams are going to look at it differently. Okay, you're gonna have teams that have a strong quarterback need, and they're going to have the information that they had from the medical at the end of February at Indy, and then it's going to be some guesswork. I mean, that's why they have the recheck medicals, which are generally about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks before the draft, because what you want to see is the progress that the player has made in that, say, 5 to 6 weeks between Indy and the rechecks. So you're not going to have that this year. So now you're going to be going off the medical that you did at Indy, period, and then, you know, make your selection based on that. Now, you know, if the doctors felt everything was good in the February in the examination, then that's what the team's going to go on. They're going to say, okay, he should be good to go come July when we open training camp, and we're going to make the selection based on that information.
If that information is solid, do you anticipate him being a top five pick just because of the player he was when healthy on the field? Like, for example, if there were no issues about him, no uncertainty about the injury history, would he be a guy that perhaps would have been taken number one by Cincinnati over Joe Burrow?
You know, I got to dodge you on that one, Zach, only because of this. I haven't studied a player in this year's draft. And this is, in fact, I was having a conversation the other day with a friend of mine. So this is the first time since 1981 that I don't know anything about the draft. I don't know if I can give you 10 names because I you know, all last fall when college football's going on, and I'm usually watching games and watching tapes, and I have been going back almost 40 years now, I'm watching guys that are in the NFL that were cut during training camp, and that's what all my time was spent on. So, you know, the so-called experts, they all say he's a top five, top 10 pick. There was, you know, the talk back going into September when the college season started was that he had the, you know, potential to be the number one pick. I do know some people that have Alabama connections and they really like the player. So from that standpoint, yeah, I mean, he's got a strong chance of being a very, very high pick. Now you look at the fact that Miami, where are they picking, 5 or 6? They were trying to get him in before this freeze on visits took place a couple weeks ago. So obviously, because of that, they had a strong interest. Otherwise, they wouldn't want bring him in as early as they were trying to. So chances are he's not going to get past the Dolphins in the first round, whatever that pick is, 5 or 6.
Greg, this week, Jordan Ta'amu signs with the Chiefs, quarterback from the XFL. P.J. Walker, another XFL quarterback, signs with the Panthers. When you look at XFL talent level and the quarterbacks in the league this season, which you're well familiar with, you had to shut it down, as you alluded to, What's a safer bet for a team looking to stock its depth chart with quality talent? Going to the mid rounds of the college draft or the NFL draft of college players in a month or so, or the XFL, where these guys, for whatever reason, may have not landed on an NFL roster and may have got an opportunity taken away from them, and now they're sort of kind of looking to get back into the league?
Well, many of the players in the XFL had NFL experience. I mean, some had been on 53-man rosters, some as much as 2 or 3 years played in the league, and then, you know, but they were always guys that were bottom of the roster type players. You know, you might have been your 7th or 8th offensive lineman, your number 3 quarterback, that type of guy. Well, in this case, and you mentioned Jordan Ta'amu, I thought he was basically, even though P.J. Walker put up some great numbers with Houston, our last game was against St. Louis, and we played Ta'amu, and you know, we have limited amount of scouting personnel on each team because of the way our budgets are set up. So I had to do the advanced stuff. So I'm watching his tape. And his tape, as compared to what he did at Ole Miss 2 seasons ago, was a huge difference. He was making good decisions. His accuracy was good. His ball placement was good. He could, extend plays with his feet. He had a lot of good tools. All he needed was the opportunity to play at a higher level, and he got that for St. Louis. So I think, and especially going to a team like Kansas City where Andy Reid has a history of developing guys, where I don't think he's going to be better than their number 3 this year, he could become a viable number 2 for them in the future. Same with PJ. I remember Chris Ballard had talked to me about PJ Walker when he was in Indianapolis' camp last year, and he was on their practice squad. You know, the previous year, he might have been with him for a couple of years on the practice squad. He was a talented guy, but they had better players in front of him. So once he got an opportunity to play, he showed what his talent level was.
Greg, I'm going to ask you the most popular Chicago football question that we're getting. Trubisky or Foles?
No comment.
Oh, come on, Greg. That says everything, doesn't it?
I can't, having not done the work, I mean, you guys have known me for a long time. I don't like to just throw a dart at the wall. I want to make an educated guess as far as giving you an answer. I'm going to say this. I think Trubisky's going to be a quarterback. And maybe that's not the popular thing. I mean, just look at what happened with Tannehill, where the Dolphins got rid of him. He goes to Tennessee, and he's what you thought he could be, he becomes in Tennessee. That's the last thing the Bears want to see happen with a guy like Trubisky. He had a strong year in 2018. You thought he was going to get better in 2019. For whatever reason, he didn't, and I didn't see enough to know why, or talk to people to know why. So, you know, just from that standpoint, I just think that they're going to try to fix what was wrong, whatever it was, and give him every opportunity to succeed this season. But you got to have a viable person backing him up, and you got to have a viable person to give competition, and that's what Foles is.
Great stuff, Greg. Good to talk to you. Glad to hear you're doing so well, and appreciate your comments this morning.
Thanks, guys. Good talking to you again.
Greg Gabriel, former scouting director of the Chicago Bears, now the director of player personnel for the XFL's DC Defenders. When we come back, Zach, Northwestern athletic director Jim Phillips joins us on the Mullen Haw Show, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.